produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is wonderful to be back with you once again, and needless to say, I am delighted to be able to be with you on this occasion. Now, you might be a little surprised at the way I worded that, but you know, I usually comment about how the events of the last few days have been unusual and unique and kind of focus on the fact that we've survived another week. Well, truly, the Lord does have mercy upon us because I survived another week. And let me explain what I mean by that. On Tuesday, I was going about my normal affairs. I'd had an early morning call to take care of an emergency matter with work. I had gotten very little sleep that night, probably about 3.5 hours sleep when it was all said and done. Was going full steam all day. Got to our office, and the environment we're in where we work, it's an office area where it's not air conditioned, and it can get rather warm. But normally we're in and out of there within 30 minutes, and we're on our scheduled deliveries at that point. Long story short, I was in there for over 2 hours, and in the midst of all that, I proceeded to have some unusual symptoms that my wife quickly realized I was in the midst of having a stroke. My speech was slurred. She said my face looked strange. I was having great difficulty standing. And so after fulfilling my commitments and responsibilities for a little while, my wife decided that it was important to get me to the hospital. And so we proceeded on to the hospital. Now, as we were driving to the hospital, I was experiencing some secondary effects. Now, once I'd gotten into the car, had the air conditioning on, first thing I did was take an aspirin. And as I cooled off, I started feeling better. But then something very unusual started to happen. I started having these weird gyrations of my right hand and arm, and then my leg occasionally, and then right side of my face. And all of this was happening on my right side. And so as I was trying to figure out how to get this under control, I just simply started meditating and pondering on positive thoughts, started pondering about the tender mercies of the Lord, pondered about the blessings that come from heaven, and put myself at a very peaceful state of mind. Good news is, by the time we reached the hospital, all of this had gone away within just a few moments after getting to the hospital. And after the initial blood pressure check, EKG, and other things that typically are done with a new admit, they placed me into one of the rooms in the emergency section and was there for close to an hour without much interaction with anyone. Eventually got moved to a private room. And didn't really have much interaction over the rest of that evening, but was told that I would have an MRI and an ultrasound the next morning, and they were going to keep me overnight. So if you've ever been a patient in a hospital, you know that throughout the evening, when you're just about to fall asleep and really have a good sleep, they want to come in and check your blood pressure, poke you with a needle to get your blood sugar tested, other things that occur throughout the process. So sleep is not a real beneficial event as you stay in the hospital, as I'm sure many of you have seen or experienced. Had the test the next morning, and it was determined that I had had a stroke. And as therapists would come by to check on me throughout the day, they would administer various tests, mental cognitive tests, physical acuity, walking, doing certain activities to demonstrate my ability to have motor skills and eye coordination and so forth. And everything went very well. In fact, there was a word test where you had to enumerate, as the therapist would give you a word, you would either have to give the word that was similar in meaning, or if she would change it up, a word that had an opposite meaning, and that went well. And then she gave me instructions to say that she was going to give me 60 seconds to enumerate all the words that I could think of that began with a certain letter. And when she said go, I started rattling off words, lickety-split. And about 30 seconds in, she laughed and said, "Okay, Mr. Floyd, that'll do. You've given me as many in 30 seconds as I typically might get with someone in 60 seconds." So as a result, it was very apparent from these tests and checkups that, thank goodness, and I give great thanks to my Father in heaven, that there was no significant damage to my mind, brain, or body, or speech as a result of the stroke. Now, I share this very personal experience because, as you can imagine, when you have one of these kinds of events in your life, you start doing a little soul searching and thinking about your age, your life, your health, what trajectory you're on, and are you where you need to be? And then, of course, you express great gratitude and appreciation for the blessings that come by, one, having your life spared, and two, having your health not seriously impacted. So as I was experiencing over the last few days these feelings of gratitude and remembrance, I was reminded of a principle that I learned a number of years ago that has served me well and has provided for me the benefit of seeing the Lord's hand at work in all things. For years, I would notice that a sequence of events would occur, and it was like they were unrelated events, but all of a sudden, at the conclusion, you saw, wow, wasn't that an interesting coincidence? In April of 2005, I was listening and viewing one of the general conference talks that we have within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Every 6 months, we have a general conference. And one of the newer apostles by the name of David A. Bednar gave a talk entitled "The Tender Mercies of the Lord." And as I listened to what he had to share, I was overcome with the most amazing spiritual kind of aha moment. For the first time in my life, I recognized specifically what all of these unique coincidences had been in my life up to that point. Literally, they were what I would refer to as tender mercies of the Lord experiences. Elder Bednar, in his talk, shared about how in the previous general conference, which was his first general conference as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, he was talking about how when he stood at the pulpit there for the first time as the very newest member of the Quorum of the 12, he had a very tender experience. Basically, what transpired was, as the brethren are preparing their talks to give at General Conference, there's not necessarily coordination as to who speaks on what topic. But more specifically, I'll quote here from his talk. He said, "Now, the music for the various conference sessions had been determined many weeks before, and obviously long before my new call to serve. If, however, I had been invited to suggest an intermediate hymn for that particular session of the conference, a hymn that would have been both edifying and spiritually soothing for me and for the congregation, before my first address in this conference center, I would have selected my favorite hymn, Redeemer of Israel." He states, "Tears filled my eyes as I stood with you," referring to us, the congregation, "to sing that stirring hymn of the restoration." He says, "Near the conclusion of the singing, to my mind came this verse from the Book of Mormon, found in 1 Nephi, in the first chapter, in the 20th verse, quote, 'But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you the tender mercies of the Lord over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty, even unto the power of deliverance.'" Now, as I ponder those words in the current circumstance, you know, when you have a medical emergency, a stroke specifically, there can be some serious consequences to that. There can be a death, there can be paralysis, there can be great physical trauma. And so I recognize and I come before you this day to state very emphatically that I recognize that I was in the tender care of Heavenly Father, and that I was the recipient of one of those tender mercies of the Lord, as he says, are over all those whom he hath chosen because of their faith to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. Wow. As I look back to read these words this day, I truly appreciate what he shared and what is stated in that scripture. Elder Bednar goes on to say, pardon me, "My mind was drawn immediately to Nephi's phrase, 'the tender mercies of the Lord.' And I knew in that very moment I was experiencing just such a tender mercy. A loving Savior was sending me a most personal and timely message of comfort and reassurance through a hymn selected weeks previously. Some may count this experience as simply a nice coincidence, but I testify that the tender mercies of the Lord are real, and that they do not occur randomly or merely by coincidence. Often, the Lord's timing of his tender mercies help us to both discern and acknowledge them." After hearing this talk, and we'll share parts of more of it as the program progresses, I quickly came to a realization that there was a pattern, and that it was important to follow this pattern as it related to tender mercies of the Lord experiences. First and foremost, number one is to recognize when you're having one of these experiences. Recognize for what it is, that it's not necessarily just a random coincidence, but it's the Lord's hand at work directly in our life. So number one, to recognize tender mercy of the Lord experiences for what they actually are. Number two, to acknowledge these experiences And what do I mean by that? Specifically and simply, address Heavenly Father and to give Him thanks, gratitude, and appreciation for having been blessed by that experience. Thanking Heavenly Father for our tender mercies of the Lord experiences. Number three, when appropriate, not to brag, but to help build others' testimonies, it is appropriate to share a personal tender mercy of the Lord experience with others, to help build testimonies of others, to strengthen faith in God and His hand in our lives. I have observed that as I have followed this pattern of one, recognizing, two, acknowledging, and three, sharing, that a magnificent benefit has come from that. Number one, I recognize, or it seems, that tender mercy of the Lord experiences are happening more frequently. And number two, that in many instances, the intensity of those experiences has dramatically increased. I remember during the time that I served as a bishop in our faith, it was right during this time that this talk was given in 2005. I'd been serving as a bishop for a little over, well, right at 4 years. And frequently thereafter, for the duration of my time as bishop for the next couple of years, I would often talk about the tender mercies of the Lord. In fact, there are many members and many missionaries to this day, when they think of Bishop Floyd, they think of the tender mercies of the Lord. So let's take a moment and kind of delve back into Elder Bednar's talk, where he says, what are the tender mercies of the Lord? He said, since the last conference, I have reflected repeatedly upon the phrase, quote, the tender mercies of the Lord. Through personal study, observation, pondering, and prayer, I believe I have come to better understand the Lord's tender mercies. Let me rephrase that. I believe I have come to better understand that the Lord's tender mercies are the very personal and individualized blessings, strength, protection, assurances, guidance, loving kindnesses, consolation, support, and spiritual gifts which we receive from and because of and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, the Lord suits His mercies according to the conditions of the children of men. Now, let me rehash a little bit of what he just shared there. He says, I believe I have come to better understand the Lord's tender mercies, that they are the very personal and individualized blessings. What can I testify of that? They provide strength and protection and give us assurances and guidance and provide loving kindnesses and consolation and support. And yes, even spiritual gifts, which we receive from and because of through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thought about this a little bit and thought, you know, I could share some tender mercy experiences. And as I started making a list of some significant events, I realized very quickly that time would not permit me to even scratch the surface. And it is very difficult to just single out a few, but I'm going to try. As I mentioned, obviously the events of this past week with the stroke and the recovery and all that has occurred certainly has provided me with a reassurance of the Lord's awareness of who I am as one of his sons. A few weeks back, I received a text message from a young man who had served as a missionary during the time that I was a bishop, somewhere around the 2014-2015 time period. And he indicated that he and his son were going to be coming through Memphis this past week and wanted to know if we might have a visit. And I said, certainly, we must get together. Well, as the week, 2 weeks progressed, and with all that happened this past week, I'd completely forgot about his visit. And so while I was still in the hospital, he indicated in the message that, oh, we're in town. When can we get together? And I had to share with him that I was actually in the hospital, but that I would be available most likely the following day, and perhaps we could get together for lunch. And at first he wanted to kind of beg off because he thought maybe I might need more time to rest and recuperate. In fact, I had to do a little talking on this particular recording with our good friend, Kayla Pageant, the producer of Finding My Way Network, where she was a little reluctant to have me even record this message, but we agreed that we would proceed. In the course of texting back and forth with my friend, he said, well, if you insist, then we'll get together. He said, is there anything that you need? Now, with the COVID situation, there's not been a lot of interaction person to person with members of my church. We do a lot by phone and through other technology processes. And I felt a strong spirit come upon me that I wanted to ask this young man if he might indeed, when we met the next day, to have him come to my home and to give him, have him administer what we refer to as a priesthood blessing. In the New Testament in James, it talks about if there be any sick among you, to call upon the elders of the church to come and anoint you with oil and to pray over you. And as Latter-day Saints, this is an ordinance of the gospel that we perform and do. And so he was most gracious, and when he arrived, I asked if he had any oil, and he said, well, as a matter of fact, as I was leaving town a couple of days ago, I felt impressed to take my little metal vial, and I noticed that it was empty, and I felt impressed to refill it with oil. In fact, he said, someone asked him, are you going to be blessing people? And he said, I guess you never know. Now, was that a coincidence? Well, you know, I'm of the opinion that this was all part of the plan, and that was certainly one of those tender mercies of the Lord. He gave a wonderful blessing, and it provided strength, hope, encouragement, and a feeling of well-being. And as it turns out, his 10-year-old son, this family has six kids, and this 10-year-old son is the oldest of the six kids, was with him, sharp young man. And later on when we went to lunch, I actually asked him to give a blessing on the food, and he did a marvelous job. And we had a wonderful visit. Tender mercies of the Lord come at times when we least expect them. I'm mindful of another missionary who served here in our area a number of years ago. But let me back up a little bit. This young man's father, while serving as a missionary in the Louisville, Kentucky mission, was one of two missionaries who taught my wife and I the gospel, the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, in the month of May 1975. And we met with this Elder Bluth, Vincent Bluth, on May the 14th. And on their very first teaching appointment, they extended the invitation to both my wife and I to be baptized on a specific date, May 24th, just 10 days later. Well, I won't go into that story and that experience, but the baptism occurred on May 24th, 1975. Well, fast forward now, almost 40 years later, and lo and behold, the son of this very same Elder Bluth who had taught us, his son comes not to the Louisville, Kentucky Mission, but to where we're living in the Arkansas Little Rock Mission. And needless to say, the connection and the relationship that developed from that was absolutely amazing. Now, there are some 400 missions in our church all over the world, usually comprising of anywhere from 150 to 200 or more missionaries per mission. Imagine out of 400 missions, his son gets sent to where we are living. Definitely not a coincidence, but a tender mercy of the Lord. And here's why. In the intervening years, we had lost contact with his father and had not been able to have any communication with him. When the relationship with his son as a missionary in this mission was established, we found out what had been going on, and we won't go into all those details, but suffice it to say, we were anxious to be able to reconnect, and I was given the phone number, but as I would call each time, I would only get his voicemail. And it wasn't until near the end of his son's mission that the father finally called us, and we had a wonderful visit. And just a few weeks after that, he passed away prior to the elder's completion of his mission. So he had to go home 2 or 3 weeks early for the funeral. About a year later, he comes back through the Memphis area and has a beautiful young lady with him and asked if we might meet for lunch. And so we did. And he asked that I might serve as the witness to represent his father for his temple sealing, his marriage to his bride-to-be. And I consented, and a few months later, I made the trip to Salt Lake City, to Provo exactly, to the Provo City Center Temple, where he and his wife were sealed for all time and eternity by one having those keys of authority to seal on earth that which is sealed in heaven, or to seal in heaven that which is sealed on earth. There are many events that occurred, but let me just identify one specific tender mercy experience. As we were sitting waiting for the bride and groom to come into the sealing room, this young man's mom, Corbin Bluth's mother, was sitting directly across from me on the other side of the room. And I noticed that tears were coming down her eyes, and I had been experiencing some very tender feelings as I was looking up at this beautiful chandelier. I had this strong impression that the elder who had taught us, this father of this young man, Vincent Bluth, was looking down upon us, and he was there with us. After the proceedings, I talked with this young man's mother, and she acknowledged that, yes, indeed, Vincent had been there with us. Now, that might be nice to acknowledge that and kind of say that's the end of the story. And by the way, in the course of the visit with the temple sealer, he asked about my connection to the family. And I told him about how the father had taught us and how we had joined the church, and went into some detail. And he asked me, would you be willing to write that up and to send it to me? And I said, certainly. He said, the reason why I would like to have that. He said, this morning I wasn't feeling well, and I almost called in to be relieved from this assignment. But the Spirit bore witness to me that I needed to be at the temple today. And he says, now I know why. Well, he wrote down his email address. And as I was standing there with the young elder's mom, she and I looked at each other in disbelief, because Elder Bluth, the missionary who taught us, was actually in Louisville for 6 months on a visa, waiting for a visa to go to Brazil. And the mission he went to in Brazil was the São Paulo Brazil Mission. And when I looked at the email address of this temple sealer, it said São Paulo, Brazil, and a number, and then the email address. And he wondered why the mom and I were looking so surprised. And when we shared with him that that was the very mission where this young man's father had served, wonderful, wonderful, tender tears came down his cheeks. And he acknowledged, now I even know more so why I was supposed to be here this day. But as old Paul Harvey would say, that's not the whole story. Let's share the rest of the story. About a year later, I was back to Utah and had a visit with my good friend, Corbin Bluth, and his wife, Hannah, and Corbin's mom, Cindy. And we had lunch. And in the course of our visit, we got to talking about the day of the sealing. And I acknowledged, you know, that I had felt the Father's presence. And to my surprise, Cindy said, oh, yes, in fact, he was standing behind you. I saw him. And the son piped up and said, yes, I saw him too. He was standing right behind you, there in the sealing room of the temple. And Corbin said, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, when attending a sporting event, when I would accomplish something, he would give me a thumbs up. He said, as I looked at him, he had two thumbs up. Obviously, he was happy for what was occurring that day. Now, these are sacred experiences that we have, and oftentimes we tend to keep them to ourselves. But I want to testify to you that I know that the tender mercies of the Lord are real. There are no coincidences. When we serve the Lord with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, when we strive to be faithful in keeping the commandments of God, when we strive to keep our covenants that we have made with the Lord, we are not only recipients of, we are entitled to be recipients of the tender mercies of the Lord. And I want to bear an unabashed testimony that I know that these things that we refer to as the tender mercies of the Lord are real and are true, and they do happen. And I want to bear testimony of that in the most solemn and sincere way that I can. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.